Father, and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May it be multiplied unto each of us this evening, as we have been able to gather here in this house of worship together. It's truly very delightful matter to my heart to hear the little children singing true praise and true thanksgiving unto God from hearts that are sincere and very noble hearts, as little children have, truly believing hearts. We can rejoice together in that matter. Luther himself has made known that the little children are the best preachers among us. And also in the scriptures, it speaks of it that way, that I believe Isaiah speaks of it that way when he says that, and a little child shall lead them. It is wonderful to, even in the Old Testament, it speaks of a place where the elderly and the little children walked hand in hand in the streets of Jerusalem. Beautiful thoughts, and for our hearts to contemplate and to consider. Such is the goodness of God toward us. Would also, first of all, like to convey greetings to you from the congregation in Watertown, from our congregation there, also as well from the Savo congregation. Was there in that area on Monday evening, or Monday, for a funeral service. And would like to convey a special greetings from Janet's mother. She is in the hospital for the fourth time since about Christmas time. Remember her as well in prayers before the Heavenly Father. Also our daughter, Bonita, who has had some very serious health concerns as well, heart problems, arrhythmias, atrial fibrillation type problems. Remember them before the throne of God as well. We have sung with the songwriter, and certainly the songwriter has put into words very apt and very good words that we would follow the Lord Jesus where he leads us. I think of the matter that even as Jesus himself gave such a simple command, and the scriptures also, the gospel imperatives are very simple. When Jesus gathered to himself his disciples, he said to them, follow me. And they followed him. It was also when John the Baptist pointed out Jesus to his disciples, they followed him. But let us think of it that way, dearly beloved, that the gospel imperatives, the gospel commands, are always accompanied by the arm of grace. It cannot be otherwise. That we would always remember it that way, that whatever God commands in his gospel, that there is his arm of grace to enable it, to cause it to happen. I thought for meditation this evening I would like to read a portion of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. It is found in the third chapter, and we'll begin reading from verse 3 and read through verse 14. These words, which are as follows in Jesus' name. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul writes this letter unto the Philippians, and it is, we remember that Paul was the one who was the one servant of God who delivered the word of God unto, as we recall in the scriptures, unto Lydia, the seller of purple, and the first convert among the Philippians, and then soon after the Philippian jailer and his family. And that was the very nucleus, the very start of the Philippian congregation. And we notice that when Paul writes his letters to the various congregations, he typically would extend to them a grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have a privilege when we come together to greet one another in the like manner. It was more than that type of greeting that we would say to one another, hello, or how are you doing? It was a greeting that that extends to them and extended to them the very grace and peace that comes from God the Father. As we, dearly beloved, have received from the Lord, those greetings that come from heaven, from the very heart of God, when we are able to hear the word and the gospel of God. It is that very purpose that God has preserved his word unto this very day. And it is through that word and through the sacraments that the Lord preserves his church. Jesus said, I have a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He preserves it. He has had a church that has been here from the time of the Garden of Eden, and yet continues wherever the children of God are found, wherever the word of God and the grace of God has been active in the hearts of men to create and regenerate a new spirit within the heart of man, so that his entire being has been changed. And this is what the Apostle Paul begins in this text. He makes known to them, we are the circumcision. He is not referring to the circumcision that he himself had partaken of, which was a circumcision on the eighth day, a circumcision of the flesh. He is referring to a far greater circumcision. He is referring not to that where a bit of skin is removed or cut away, but he is rather referring to that where the old Adam or the old body of sin itself has been cut away in its entirety. This is what the Apostle Paul is here speaking of. It is not a fleshly circumcision, but rather a spiritual circumcision, that he tells the Philippians, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit, not in the flesh, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Dearly beloved, have you found, do you have any other hope? Do you have any other confidence of your heart outside of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what the Apostle Paul is here telling him. We are of the circumcision that rejoice in Christ Jesus. That find, as Apostle Paul goes on in this text that we have read, he finds him to be the all in all. And I think of it even as the beloved Apostle John also rejoices. It was the very crowning matter of his life that when he writes even his gospel, he does not ever identify himself in the gospel that this is the Apostle John that has written these words. But he identifies himself by that which was the very crown and mastery of his entire life, was this, that this is that disciple whom Jesus loved. Paul here also makes this matter very clear in the same way when he says that we and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The Apostle Paul understood this very well. He had much confidence in the flesh in his prior days. As he goes on to enumerate the fact that there were many among them, the Judaism of his time, that rejoiced in those things that were of the flesh, rejoiced in the fact that they were born Israelites, rejoiced in the fact that they were circumcised, and so on. They held to these matters. The Apostle Paul says that we have no confidence in the flesh. These things were not of importance to him, of which had in prior days been of utmost importance, because he was one who they would all would look at and see him faultless before the law, that he had fulfilled all that the law had required in those things, in a natural sense at least. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, the Apostle Paul says, I would have more reason to rejoice, more confidence than any other. And he goes on to explain the matter and to enumerate the matter that he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, fully an Israelite, of the tribe of Benjamin, after the captivity of the children of Israel, there were only two tribes anymore that were held together. It was the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. The Apostle Paul speaks this matter unto them, that he was of that stock, a true Israelite and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, and as touching the law, a Pharisee. These are things that would pertain to natural birth, to the flesh, all of these things of which man many times, even as it was among some that perhaps would trouble the Philippian congregation, that He mentions this, and concerning zeal, very zealous, above all, very zealous. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. They did not look with favor the Pharisees upon Christ Jesus, nor did they look with favor upon the followers of Christ Jesus. We understand the thought when we read even of the very sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, for our redemption, for our salvation, that it was, and also the very persecutions of those who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about that even as is written, I believe, in the prophet Isaiah, in the book of Hebrews, concerning those things that took place in the Old Testament among the prophets and among even the prophets, Isaiah himself, and many others, recorded in Scripture, they were pursued like wild animals. Some did not even have a place to dwell. They lived in holes in the ground, and refusing to deny their faith, holding it more precious than anything else. And so also it is written in the book of Hebrews that they were, the world was not worthy of them, even though to the world they were of no value, but the world was not worthy of them. So noble hearts that they had. Paul speaks of it here, of his former state, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The righteousness of the law, he was blameless. Paul did not at that that time understand the matter that has been throughout all of the ages through for all of mankind, the righteousness, the true righteousness which comes by faith alone. Faith is the only matter that can lift the heart of man into communion with God. There is no other. It is by faith alone, through the grace of God. As we understand that and know through the very gospel that has been proclaimed unto us as well. But the Apostle Paul says here, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. The Apostle Paul does not here in any sense say that he came to a place where he decided that this was not a gain to him. He was brought to that place because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was brought to the place where he understood that in which he had put his trust, it was worthless. It was of no value. It did not help his soul. It did not give unto him a hope of everlasting life. He came to the place, as he so completely makes it known here, that things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ's sake. Because he found in the Lord Jesus Christ a far greater treasure that is of infinite value that cannot be measured. And this is what the Apostle Paul is here making known unto the Philippian congregation of these things. That which he had formerly trusted in, because of Christ, it became worthless. It was like somebody trying to sell you some worthless stock, and you already know what is much better, what is much more valuable. It would be kind of, we could use the analogy, it would be kind of like a pauper going to a king and trying to offer him something that would better his life and his livelihood. This is kind of the thought that the Apostle Paul is here making this matter so clear unto the Philippians, lest they would be led in the wrong way by those who would insist on that which is performed according to the flesh and according to the law, and reject and lose the most precious, which is faith and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the thought, and Paul goes on, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All those things were loss, and he was glad to relinquish them because of Christ Jesus, because for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that our hearts by faith come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to know wherein our hope of salvation, our hope of eternal life lies. And I remember Elder Brother Ralph Davidson often saying this and relating this matter, that our salvation is outside of us. It is not within us. It lies outside of us. It is faith that lays hold of another. It is faith that lays hold of the very redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf as our substitute, who has suffered and paid the penalty for our transgressions. He goes on to say that, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He counted it as worthless, not of any value. That he can win Christ. He places his entire soul care in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, there is no other for us either, dearly beloved. It is in him alone, as he says. And he counted it but dung. It was like refuse. It was like trash. It meant nothing. And he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We are tied close to the law as people. We think, often, we think and look at matters this way, that how can it be that something would be given without merit, without our earning it? How can such a thing be? So it doesn't fit very well into our thinking. So we are kind of joined at hip to the law. Do this and don't do that. Jesus is not another lawyer. The gospel does not teach what we must do and what we must not do. The gospel is a message. It is a declaration of what Jesus has done. It has been declared unto us. It is the word of God that accomplishes it, as we all also understand that. But that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, it is a righteousness, as Paul says here, which is of God. The righteousness that comes to the heart of man when God himself declares man righteous by faith. His heart is righteous in that moment. That declaration, when God looks upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is faith, he looks upon us and he sees us pure, without sin, holy. Luther often puts it that way, that we are both sinners and we are saints. It is hard to comprehend that matter, but that is how it is. We are saints only because we are in Christ Jesus by faith. That is, again, the connection. That is what opens the very golden doors into a fellowship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, his faith. He says, the righteousness which is of God by faith, not works, faith. He goes on to say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ other than the fact that he is resurrected. The Apostle Paul teaches in another place that if the Lord Jesus Christ is not raised up, we are yet in our sins. We are without hope. We have no salvation. But on the other side of that, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen, and we become a partaker of his death and resurrection in baptism, even. The Apostle Paul teaches it, that we are buried with him in baptism, like as Christ then was raised by the glory of the Father, even so we also would walk in newness of life, but never outside of faith. Man could be baptized 1,000 times and it would avail him nothing outside of faith. Always the sacraments are received and become a benefit to us because of faith. Even as he also goes on, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. The Apostle Paul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. He came to understand that and to know that on the road to Damascus and through Ananias. He came to understand the power of the Lord's resurrection. He saw him in all his resurrection power. He also goes on and he says, in the fellowship of his sufferings, we remember Jesus said to him that he will show him what great things he must suffer for his name's sake. This is what Paul here speaks about unto the Philippians. And being made conformable unto his death. The Apostle Paul knew this, that the time would come. He did not know in what manner, perhaps, but certainly he had experienced many things that were very difficult to go through. We understand that from some of the history of the Apostle Paul and the many things that he endured. And yet, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on the ship, even, and shipwrecked, and when the sun or stars did not appear, I believe, as it is written in Scripture, maybe for the space of 3 days. And there he was. Many things for which a man would have certainly thought that, well, the Lord has rejected and forsaken me. We see these things. He says that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking of that the very consummation of his faith, that one day that he would attain unto that, as he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He understood his human imperfection. He understood all the things that were a part of this body and the afflictions and the troubles of this life. He understood those things. But he says that he is not already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, if that I may apprehend that, may lay hold of that, for which Christ Jesus, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He had one desire in his heart by faith, that he could lay hold of that for which the Lord Jesus Christ laid hold of him. What is that? A crown of life, a home in heaven. That the Apostle Paul says here that I may apprehend that, like that he would reach out for it and lay hold of it. That is what he is here saying. How does that happen? It is not through man's strength or through man's ability or man's goodness, but it is the arm of grace that enables it always, even as the Apostle Paul, but it is like he himself would one day, by God's grace, reach out and lay hold of it. Christ Jesus has apprehended you and I for one purpose, that we would one day dwell together with him, that one day the golden portals of heaven would be opened unto you and I. It is for that purpose. He did not suffer and die for any useless thing, but he suffered and died that he might bring many sons unto glory, that would be the reward of his suffering and his redemptive work in our behalf, that he would bring us to glory, that we may one day be gathered together with all the saints, all the even the prophets of old, all the nobles spoken of in the scripture from the Old Testament as well, among that numberless throng that John writes of in the book of Revelation, gathered at the throne of God, before the throne of God, cut of every nation and kindred and people and tribe and tongue, numberless, that we would also are among those who the Apostle John saw gathered there. The entire missionary effort, the entire work of the gospel here upon this earth, as we learn in our catechism, that God gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies through his word and spirit the Christian church here upon this earth. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That mark, that goal, remains steadfast. It does not flee, but the Apostle Paul is here saying that he presses forward to it, whatever the difficulties, and many times in life there are many difficulties. We don't minimize that fact. There are difficulties. But hear what the Apostle Paul is saying, that he presses forward even through those difficulties, knowing that one day he will reach his that goal. That goal that is the very prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a high calling. The world calls many times, and it is a calling that is not a high calling. But you know, here the Apostle Paul is speaking of a high calling in Christ Jesus. It is, he calls us that we may one day be together with him in heaven, in glory before the Father. Jesus, I think of it when I know our time is kind of getting up here, but I think of it even in the 23rd Psalm, when David speaks, and he speaks as though he himself were the sheep, and he looks at the Good Shepherd, he looks at the Lord Jesus Christ, and he speaks of how the Lord leads him. That is the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls through his gospel. And many times the sheep will follow that call. Like already mentioned, the disciples, when Jesus called them and said, "Follow me," they followed him. But sometimes there are sheep that stand there. Sometimes it happens. they maybe shake their ears or they maybe stomp their hoof, but they don't move. They stay there, stubbornly, stupidly. That's how sheep are. I don't know if you have had occasion, I'm sure many of you, to work with sheep. But it is a thought here that Paul speaks of it, that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God calls us unto himself through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he calls and gathers and sanctifies, purifies our hearts by faith. May the Lord, through his word and through his sacraments, continue as he will and as he has promised to gather and call us and lead us all the way, that our hearts can one day rejoice without any tears, without any remembrances of things of this earth. May he lead us safely onto that goal or onto that prize of his high calling, which is the means of which is through faith, and the object of our faith is Christ Jesus. May he bless us to that end. And let us humble our hearts in closing benediction. Dear Father, we thank thee for thy word, for the gospel that has been spoken and declared unto us. We thank thee for thy goodness toward us, thy grace that has been so abundant. And we ask thee, dear Heavenly Father, to give us thankful hearts, give us listening ears that we can hear even unto our very hearts. Bless thy word into each of our hearts. Guide us by the light of thy word and thy spirit. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.